Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We've got big fab bidding this weekend with Jeff Erickson winning all the fab bidding. We've got a big Dodgers-Padres series and a lot more baseball to talk about. All coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Jenstead, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, we do appreciate that. If you happen to be watching us live at the moment, feel free to chime in with any comments or questions you may have. If you're listening to us on the audio version, we obviously appreciate that too. Jeff, it's July. This season, I was talking with, I think it was Rob Silver. I was like, this season, the first 3 months of the season, it seemed like it's flown by more than other seasons. Maybe that's because we had some teams doing well, but it just feels like with the lockout we had, everything was compressed, and all of a sudden we're in July. The season's halfway over. I feel like it got here quick.
Yeah, it did. I'm glad. It's nice that we're, you know, we keep in mind we started a week or two later.
Yeah.
So that makes it seem like, but we're at, if, for some teams, we're officially at the halfway point.
Yep.
To 81 games. So that has something to do with it there. But yeah, it's flying. It is more fun when your teams are more competitive. Now, I'm not quite in striker range, but I am competitive in one of my leagues, so that's good. I'm surprised I haven't been permanently replaced by Toby on the Sunday night podcast since he's smoking me in the Vegas league. But, and it's
long,
funny.
Long ways to go.
My better of the two main event teams keeps losing people, and I keep getting better in the standings. So I don't know what's going on there, but that's my Bryce Harper league.
Jeff, we call that excellent managing. And
yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. You know, you're an expert for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump into fab. There's some interesting names this week, but let's talk a little about baseball this weekend. That Dodgers-Padres series, especially today, was pretty wild. I mean, the Padres came in, you know, kind of nipping at the Dodgers' heels, and the Dodgers win the first three games. It was like 14 of 15, whatever it was. Like, the Dodgers had just owned them. Go to the ninth inning. Dodgers leading 1-0. Kimbrel comes in, gets one out, takes a line drive kind of off his back or his, like, tricep, stays in the game. And then Luke Voit hits a high fly ball left field that he stood and watched for about 45 seconds. It hit the top of the wall. Gavin Lux didn't really play it well, but, like, it hit the top of the wall. Like, you can't really blame him too much for that one. Just kind of drifted on it. Then I think Eric Hosmer made him pay, and then Kim hit a home run to make it 4-1. I kind of feel like the Padres season was kind of hanging on the balance of that ninth inning. Like, if they get swept there, they go 5.5 back. They know they can't beat the Dodgers in their head. I think that's a really big win for the Padres moving forward. I know it's only July, but it felt like a pretty big win, as big a win you can have in July.
Yeah, it is. And it revealed a couple of issues with the Dodgers too. And namely their bullpen is one. I mean, losing Daniel Hudson for the season, I think really emphasizes that they got to have a Kimbrel that's right. And even before he left the game, he was kind of struggling in this one. And he's had a couple other shaky outings. Bruzdar Gratterall, I don't think was available tonight, but he's someone that I put him in my waterfall after the events of tonight, because I don't really trust too many other arms in that bullpen right now.
Yeah, I put him in mine, and then I lowered him down the waterfall after Dave Roberts had a quote that's like, "We're not moving Kimbrel out of the closer job. That's not even a consideration."
Shouldn't be right now.
Yeah,
but I just think it's something that, yeah, he may say that now, but if he has like two or three other similar outings, he may be forced to make a decision at some point.
Yeah, although there was the year that Kenley struggled, he never went away from him really either. I think he's pretty loyal, but I mean, Kimbrel's what? He's a 4.78 ERA now after today. Granted, you know, relievers can get that bumped up, but, you know, he's 3.81 going into today. But his whip is – it went up today, but his whip before today was 1.4. And that's the big thing for me is he's walking guys, not quite the, like, 2020 walking guys, but walking guys, getting up hits. K rate's down about 8% from last year. Still really high. It's 34%. But swinging strike rate's down 5% from last year. So, like – he's still really good at a lot of these things, but he's not quite the 2021 Kimbrel that we thought had like kind of found it and bounced back after the rough 2019 and 2020. If I'm a Dodger fan, like I just kind of feel a little nervous every time he comes in. I don't know if that's you know, eye test or stat test, but I just don't really feel comfortable every time he takes him out.
I might have even said something similar to that, you know, earlier in the week. You know, it's just he is very uncomfortable out there on the mound. It's just you don't have that sense that it's game over. Now, Dodger fans, I think, are a little notorious about feeling that way with Kenley, for that matter, too. Yep. That Kenley was way better than they deserve. But Kenley's also hurt right now. Again. Yeah, well, hurt. He's got the irregular heartbeat.
When Eric Gagne doesn't blow a save for 3 years, maybe you get used to guys not blowing saves. But, yeah, it's I don't know, like in a playoff game, like if it one run, it's 3-2 and you're coming in against a good team, like right now, I would not feel especially great with Kimbrel coming in, but maybe he writes the ship. Maybe he figures it out. Do you think the Dodgers make it? They got to make a trade for a reliever here at some point in the deadline, right? They got to find somebody that just kind of.
I think almost every contender is going to trade for a reliever, though. That's the thing. I mean, you saw Aroldis Chapman yesterday, and he's still throwing balls and doesn't trust his fastball. Yep. I'll tell you what, as a Clay Holmes manager in a couple leagues, that felt pretty good watching that.
Every ball made you feel just a little bit better, right?
Yeah, it really did. And he just doesn't trust that fastball. That's the thing that really was noteworthy to me. 3-2, I think he was throwing breaking pitches every time and missing. I mean, he just didn't want to throw the fastball in a moment where he had to have it.
Which is so wild for a guy that's pretty much lived on being able to throw a fastball by anybody whenever he wants at any time.
Yeah. He bought at the very least, he bought Holmes some time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and every time he does that, he buys Holmes another series or another half week or another week. And, you know, if you have Clay Holmes in the league, I think that, you know, you obviously are going to start him no matter what, but I think you feel pretty good that the next at least week to 10 days is still Clay Holmes territory closing games. And, you know, like you said, every time Chapman has an outing like that, maybe it pushes him to the seventh, eighth inning for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And even before that outing, they said they're going to go seventh, eighth, and ninth for Chapman for a while. I liked seeing that too.
Yeah. I mean, they want to win games. They're 36 games over 500. At some point they can kind of, you know, maybe put their foot off the gas, but not in July. So they still got to win games. But it's funny you mentioned the Yankees. The AL East is wild. You've got four teams right now. They're in the playoffs. You know, with the new expanded three wild cards. Do you think there's any chance the AL East can stick with four teams? Because right now the Rays would be I guess they're a half game behind the Blue Jays, but they'd be ahead of Cleveland. They'd be ahead of Seattle, Chicago. Right now, the AL East would have all three of those wild cards. I mean, it might be tough moving forward as they all play each other, but it's hard not to think that they have four of the best six teams in the American League.
And I don't think like Tampa's going 18-1 against the Orioles this year either.
Yeah, that's true.
The Orioles aren't the same pushover that they've been in previous years.
Yeah.
But it's a big week for the Rays. They took 3 out of 5 from Toronto in Toronto after losing the first two. They won the last three.
Yep.
You know, pretty big rally there. They got their bats. Bats came alive in that series. I think that was pretty big for them. They needed that. Earlier in the week, they had the Pirates. So, you know, that worked out pretty well. I think it was the Pirates. Or maybe that was over the weekend. That was over the weekend. I take that back. But point is, they've started playing some slightly better ball after a really rough June. They're starting to get better. Wander Franco homered over the weekend. They needed that. It's a long time from being over, but they also know that they have, if they get to the playoffs, they get to a wild card situation. They got McClanahan.
Yeah.
And that's pretty huge. And Boz is looking pretty good. You know, if they can get the luxury of setting that up, they could be in pretty good shape to have a 1-2 punch there.
Who throws a one game playoff for either Boston or Toronto? It's got to be Manoah in Toronto, right?
I think they want Gausman, but it'll probably be Manoah.
Yeah, I'd probably go Manoah, but that's a good point there. I wonder.
Or they want Barrios, actually.
I think Manoah and Gausman are ahead of Barrios in that.
Well, for sure, right. I agree, but I think that's what they want, and it's still half a season left of things. It results to change too.
Is Boston, if you had a better Boston, Pivetta, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi? It's Pivetta right now, but I imagine in their dream scenario, it's Sale.
Yeah, I know the momentum is picking up. I think they're talking one more rehab start for Sale, and then we're going to see him. And as long as everything goes fine there, and I think it probably, you know, it went really well last time. So a lot of momentum picking up on the Chris Sale bandwagon there. Do you have him anywhere?
I do not. I was not drafting him. I just thought, you know, I thought it'd be July, and it is July, and I just thought that'd be too long to wait. He was available in some leagues. It never was in a spot where, like, you know, I can sit this for 4 weeks. So,
right.
If you have him right now, this could be a really nice, like, 8 to 10 weeks if he's healthy. Though. That's a game changer right there.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But no, it should be fun. Interesting. Someone was talking about a trade in the chat. Mookie Betts and Kyle Wright for Francisco Lindor and Aaron Nola. Jeff, what side of that do you like? That's an interesting deal right there.
So we'll see what Mookie does. I mean, I think that if you get pre-injury Mookie.
Look good today. Had two doubles.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Although I'm a little nervous about Wright. I mean, obviously, I think it's a big downgrade in pitching. I mean, Nola, I think he's very underappreciated how good he's been.
Yeah.
He's got like a whip of like 0.9, I think. A lot of strikeouts there too. So I think it's a pretty fair trade. I think if obviously you're taking a chance that you can handle the hit on the pitching side.
Yeah. Nola's K rate 29%, walk rate is 3.5%. That's a pretty nice. Pretty nice K minus walk right there. That is interesting. I like trades where, you can't obviously tell who the winner is off the bat.
Right.
I'm a little bit worried about Kyle Wright too. I have Kyle Wright in the main event. I almost sat him last week. I ended up using him. I was glad I did because of the win, but he's kind of on that, you know, later half of starts for me. There was a while there where he's just automatic. I throw him in. Obviously he throws twice this week, so I'm going to start him for sure. But there have been a few little blips there that you kind of expect. I mean, there's a reason he was, you know, an inconsistent guy in the 20th, 28th round or whatever he was drafted in. But been really good. But yeah, it's interesting if he can do it for a full year. Guys have good 2-3 month stretches. Be interested to see if he can kind of keep it going the rest of the way because he's been great so far.
Yeah, he has.
Let's look at week 14 a little bit. We got a lot of games this week. There are some teams with 8 games, a lot of teams with 7 games. It's a really, really active week. I think you were tweeting there's 4 teams that don't play tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's 14 games tomorrow. I mean,
how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. This has been our soapbox earlier. Every team should play on the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and Labor Day.
Agreed.
And they don't. Because it's a Monday this year, I guess. But I was joking. Tongue in cheek, state of Pennsylvania hates America because neither the Phillies nor Pirates are playing, nor the Angels or the Yankees are playing tomorrow. Howsomever, the Nats.
How do the Yankees not play on 4th of July? Of all teams, come on.
Reasons? I don't know. Yeah. It's pretty weird to see that. However, the Nats are playing like at like 2 a.m. our time. Oh, no, it's like 8 o'clock. They've been doing that now for the last few years. Oh my God.
I thought you were kidding. It's actually 8:05 a.m.
Yes. It's eight in every 4th of July lately. It's been doing that. And then it's a DC thing. Then they, you know, you're free to enjoy your day.
I guess that makes a little bit of sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow. But
Philly, you would think would be a 4th of July team too. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're right. That the Phillies and the Yankees, like that seems wild to me. 8:05 a.m. I guess what you're telling me is I need to set some lineups tonight.
Yeah. After you revel in your winning bids, go set your lineups. Don't wait till tomorrow.
Agreed. There's games. There's two games, three games at 10:35 in the morning Pacific time too. So it's a fun day. There are games all day, but in terms of setting fantasy lineups, it's just a bit confusing and a bit tough, but make sure you kind of get it in and adjust as we go here. But some good offenses to look at this week. If you're streaming some hitters this week, if you're playing daily leagues. I really like the Braves this week. 4 home against St. Louis, 3 home against Washington is a really nice schedule. The Astros probably the best setup. They have home games against Kansas City and Oakland. That's pretty nice pitching right there, Jeff. I'd like to.
And their pitchers are on fire too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the Astros are just on fire in general. Jeremy Payne is a beast, by the way. I love that dude.
Yeah,
walk off home back. Today. Yeah, I hate too. And then he came back and then ran into Yordan, which was a tumultuous like half hour for me, Jeff. I have Yordan and Jeremy Pena on main event teams, so that was like I can't believe two of my players ran into each other on a fly ball. So I was as I saw the collision, I was ready to turn off the TV and run away for a while. But both guys are back, both guys off the I guess they were on concussion for a few days there on Yordan, and Pena was fine. But walk off home run, I you know it's always good synergy when Pena hits a home run to walk off and gets Ryan Presley the win.
Yeah, that's always handy. And
it's nice,
yeah,
nice when the fantasy clubhouse works well together. I like when you have some friendliness there.
Yeah, 20 strikeouts today for the Astros pitching staff against the Angels. 20. Wow. Framber, I think, struck out 12 in a row at one point.
There was a point in that series, I think it was Friday and Saturday, Trout was 0 for 7 with 7 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And I think his first 10 ABs in the series, he had 9 strikeouts, which is freaking awesome.
He's had like two really awful stretches this year. And then some on fire stretches.
Insane fire the rest of the time. But yeah, he's had some spots where you just can't, I mean, but that many strikeouts, that's wild right there.
Yeah. Isaac Moore just mentioned that he picked up Odorizzi. Odorizzi gets 2 starts this week. He's the one pitcher on the Astros because they're going 6-man rotation.
Yep.
Very dicey to see this, though. I mean, they upset the apple cart when they're pitching so well right now.
Yeah. It sounded like they played it as maybe Verlander needs a day longer rest, so they pieced it in there. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do because they got Odorizzi back, but there's none of their 5 guys they could sit right now. Like they couldn't have put Odorizzi in for someone else. They could have put him in a bullpen, I suppose, but maybe 6-man a few times through works out. I mean, they're up about 100 games in the AL West. So
well, that's just what I was going to say. They can afford to do that.
Yeah. There is no one that's coming close to even remotely giving them any trouble in the AL West.
No.
Yes. I mean, Seattle and Texas are around 500, and then the A's are not 500, Jeff. I don't know if you'd seen any standings in the last 3 months or so.
I've been doing that parallel our Reds, our A's thing all year. I mean, the Reds had a 10 home game losing streak that they broke today. So,
the Reds are significantly still better at home than the A's are at home.
That's really hard to do. But
you won't believe the A's record at home if I told you.
But you won't believe it if I told you.
They're 18-27 on the road. So, you know, bad, but, you know, whatever, 9 games under. They're 8-28 at home.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough. I mean, the Reds had a stretch of mediocrity earlier this year in May. So, opposite of
white
heart.
I love
that
a stretch of mediocrity is a good thing.
Yeah. I think they were purple hot or purple tepid. But that's his. Good question in the chat room. Justin Mason asks, when is Scott going to spend his fab money?
Well, we're halfway through the season. I've got $500 left. Isn't that about the right math?
Yeah, right. I think that's exactly.
As we'll talk about later. I tried to spend it tonight. I went pretty big on Vinny Pascantino. Bid 184 and got outbid. It would have won it in I think a majority of leagues, not every league, but a pretty good chunk of leagues, and got outbid there. So I may spend it at some point, but if not, if I can win the league and have some left over, I'll hold that over Justin for a while anyway. So that'd be fun. Other good schedules. Dodgers are 3 home against Colorado, 3-4 against Chicago. There aren't a lot of Dodger hitters you can pick up, but that should be a good week for Dodgers offense. White Sox 2-3 against Minnesota, 4 against Detroit. I think we see a lot of runs this week, Jeff. It's there's some nice matchups for some really good hitting teams.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think I think the ball is just flying out now. It's actually cooling down here in Southern California a little bit tomorrow. It's like 85 as opposed to the 95s we've been getting. But, you know, seeing that ball carry yesterday was, that Voit ball you mentioned earlier, that ball just.
Lux looked like he thought he was under it, like, 15 feet in front of the fence, 10 feet in front of the fence. And
yes.
He kept going back and it hit the top of the wall. And
now, I think that might be just him misplaying the ball. It's entirely possible.
Some of that, but it definitely carried. Although Luke Voit thought it was 550. So I don't know who's right in the mix there.
The ball is still rolling away down the track, and Voit refuses to move off segments. Nope. Just not going anywhere. Nope.
Jeff, I'm not kidding. That's trouble for you for sure.
Yeah, I think so
too. Sure. Yeah,
for sure.
And you've said you're not fast. That's the only reason I said that, but that was
rolling. Yeah, I thought I could make it to third by now.
The funny thing was they showed the angle and he was not at third, and I thought it's because he was going home. Like
he had already scored.
Yeah, I must be inside the park home run because there's no way why he wouldn't be on third. And they scroll and he's standing on second base, just kind of chilling there. I was cracking up.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Let's jump into Fab since our friend Justin Mason asked about Fab. Yes, I do plan on spending it. Yes, it's been frustrating to get outbid on some people, but I am nothing if not stubborn. I tend not to super overbid on people, although I probably will at some point. But Vinny Pascantino was the big bid this week, Jeff. He was available everywhere. He was at 0% rostered in the main event, 0% rostered in the online championship. So one of those guys that got hot in minor leagues. He was great last year, got called up, but he's available everywhere. So every league could bid on him. You won him in both your mains. I'm fired up for you. I think he is really, really, really good, and I liked him more as the day went along. I kind of got, I obviously knew who he was, saw the home runs, you know, saw him get called up and all that, follow that. But as I dug it deeper in the numbers, I think he's a really legit good hitter.
I think so too. I love the strike zone control. I don't love the Kansas City lineup, but I do like that he's batting in the middle of it. I like that they cleared the runway for him.
Yep.
I needed power in both my mains, especially. My pitching is actually pretty good at least. I'm like replacing like Brandon Belt or like Michael Franco. Is who I'm placing. So the bar is pretty low. I can definitely improve those spots. So it was worth it to me to go a little aggressive. I honestly thought that it would go a little higher. You and I were texting, and you asked, like, what did you think the average winning bid was going to be? And I said, like, 223. But then I did the keep them honest, like, 149 and 153.
I'm jealous. I was 184 in one of them, and I was the backup. I was a little lower in my other league. I have a lot of offense in that league, so I wasn't. I still had a bid in the triple digits, but I was the backup there too. I lost him to Dave Potts there. I lost him to in the other league. I lost him to Mr. Moose on Twitter. He was talking about that in the on Twitter. He went 211. Said he was waiting for him. Said he was worried he was going 300s. Riley Green went 300s in our league. So did Nolan Gorman. It was 211. Still pretty high. I saw the range was pretty wild. It was down to the lowest was 53. I think there were a couple of bids that won him in the 300s, but it looked like maybe 170, 180 was kind of the average winning bid in there, which is kind of where I was, but just didn't work out there. But I do think he's good. The key, you mentioned you need power, but like you look at his batting average. This is a guy that he walked more than he struck out last year, or this so far this year in AAA. And then he walked more than he struck out last year in AA in 2021. So
yeah,
you got a guy who's hit for power, but also hits for average. Like this is a really good profile. We've seen a lot of rookie hitters come up and struggle. That's the one thing, you know, that can happen, you know, first time through the order or through the league, you know, sometimes it's really hard to hit major league pitching, but this guy's just a really good hitter. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm glad you got him, because I think it'll be a fun guy to have on your team.
Yeah. I got him in four leagues, the NFBC platform. In fact, all four that I got him on, bid on him in, there's one I didn't, cause I didn't think I needed him. But I actually did kind of reverse. I should have bid less in online and in yogurt, because as I, you know, the two mains, I had a pretty good dialed in price, and I was kind of a little more rushed on the other two. And okay, I'll just bid a little bit more to make sure. And I didn't need to. So I overbid there, but better to overbid and get your guy than to, you know, put a token bid and not get him. And then you really could have used him. So.
Yeah, someone mentioned the chat, you know, got burnt by Josh Lowe, couldn't chase any more rookies. I think the one difference with Pascantino is that there's a strikeouts. Like, I just think that the complete lack of Ks throughout his history in the minors, I think, just gives him a better floor than someone like Lowe, who, you know, who struck out in the minors and also came in the majors and struck out a ton. This time up has not been much better. He had a really bad week again. I dropped him in a 12-teamer. It's hard. I think at some point the Rays are going to have to not give him everyday playing time. You know, Kiermaier came back. Paredes is hitting. I just don't think Josh Lowe fits in their first nine right now.
Agreed, and he didn't start today.
Yeah,
to your point. So, and Lamonte Williams, I get your point about rookies. I get it.
Yeah. We've had a lot of that this year. I mean, and you can go back to Kelnick last year and earlier this year. We've had a lot of guys. I mean, even Bobby Witt hitting 230. Like, he's on pace for a lot of home runs, lost stolen bases. But, you know, Julio Rodriguez the first 3 weeks was really rough, and then obviously has been insane since. But we've seen a lot of rookies the first month or so really struggle.
And if you watch Julio, though, closely, you know he wasn't getting the calls. Yeah. His plate discipline was good then, and he held firm on that, which I love seeing. Jeremy Pena has been just fine, by the way, as a rookie. Awesome. More than just fine. So it can happen, but yeah. I get the reticence, especially when we look at, like, maybe the AAA guys and, you know, the quality of AAA pitching right now, that it might be down. And it's just harder to hit for average in baseball right now too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Juan Soto, and Matt Sims was asking about his injury, but Soto's struggling this year because he's getting impatient. He's trying to expand the zone just a little bit.
Their lineup is brutal, and there's no reason to throw him strikes. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think 226 was in Juan Soto's possible outcomes. Like, I just,
no.
I would be like, a rough year for Juan Soto. Maybe hits like 255. Everything goes dead wrong. Juan Soto hits 255. Like, 226 is just, and we're halfway through the season. It's crazy to me. I never would have predicted that.
But you're definitely, if you're drafting, I mean, he's not going to drop that too much down, right? He's only going to drop a couple of spots if you're redrafting today for you. How low would he go before you would take the plunge on him?
Probably like, it's hard to think all the guys in my head, but yeah, probably like pick 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there.
So that's actually a little bit lower than I would have thought. I thought maybe like 7 or 8. So,
I think I'd probably have like 3 or 4 pitchers in there and 5 or 6 hitters. Yeah. Probably like 12, 13 for me. That lineup is so bad. I think that's an issue. I mean, he's got 33 RBIs and that's just, we talked about, you know, a lot of the home runs and with nobody on base. He went a long time before he had a home run with a guy on base, but it's rough there. But I want to talk about Julio Rodriguez for a second, just because he came up.
Yeah, of course.
13 home runs, 20 stolen bases, 44 runs scored, 30 RBIs, hitting 273. Dude is 21 and just absolutely crushing. He's on pace for like a 25-40 season. I mean, it's just that's a fantasy freak season right there. Yeah. Hard hit rate's almost 50%. It's 49%. Barrel rate's 13.5%. His strikeouts are up from the minors, 28%, but we see that a lot, and that's probably going to come down to as he gets better. And I tell you what, this dude's just all world. There you go. There's the question. Would you draft him or Soto in a redraft right now first? Right? It's not an easy one.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle's lineup's a little rough too, and it's a lousy ballpark to hit in, and he's still doing this. It's pretty amazing. And you know,
the running is the key. The 20 steals is huge.
Massive. Yeah. Massive. I mean, he's John Birdie, but
damn it, you beat me to it.
Yeah. But he does other things too.
John Birdie is just absolutely a hero. There's no other word for the man.
It's gross that I don't have him anywhere at all.
He has been, I have him on both main event teams. It has been just absolute. It's just crazy. He gets caught stealing today. I'm all bummed out that we didn't get a steal. I mean, it's like 3 or 4 steals every single week. It's crazy.
I can see your article it's going to be Striker Secrets there, but writing about John Birdie.
No doubt. So if you didn't get Vinny, the next guy down, everybody was looking at Derek Hall in Philadelphia. 20 home runs in the minors so far this year. He was absolutely mashing in AAA. Came up, hit 2 home runs his first game, hit another one the next night. Hitting 4th tonight for the Phillies. Obviously, with Bryce Harper out, there's a hole in that lineup, especially against right-handed pitching. Hall's a big, big lefty. I think he's like, 6-something, 235, big dude, but a lot of power. Were you in on Derek Hall as kind of a 1B to Vinny? Was he slower down for you? Where was it there?
It was not anywhere close because I think he's Brian LaHare or Frank Schwindel. I don't think he's anything that he's a Mr. Right now, not a Mr. Right. Okay. I don't think he's going to get on base that much. I don't think he's going to hit for average. He's got great power. He's legit in terms of the power. But I think it's he's a port in a storm. He'll be useful for a while, but I wouldn't count on him in the long run. I think he'll get solved by pitchers a lot.
I like the fact that they did him in the middle of the lineup, and that's a lineup that's got a little bit of a punch to it. So I think he's going to come up with guys on base. I didn't like him anywhere near as much as Vinny, but I probably liked him a little bit more than you. I was in probably the 40 to 50 range of my bids on him, just, needing some pop. He doesn't strike out a ton, which I liked. He was at 20% in AAA this year, 21% last year. So not like a 28, 29% strikeout guy, which I thought he might be when I started digging into the numbers. But I like him. Obviously he's caught fire this weekend, and who knows what happens. He was not in the Vinny range for me, but I do like him a little bit, especially with Harper probably going to be out 2 months. There is a spot there for a lefty bat that they need.
Yeah, and I'm probably being a little unfair. He 20% strikeout rate. He was completely repeating a level though, and he's as a 26 year old in AAA. Okay, that's not bad, but I still say the comparison to Schwindel holds. Good. He's getting an opportunity. He's taking advantage of it. Good for him. I'm happy. I hope it's a good story if he does stick around in that lineup for a while.
And 2021 Frank Schwindel would work too.
Yeah, I would take that.
It's not necessarily a bad thing you're saying.
Yeah, I had too much. Maybe it's because I had so much exposure to Schwindel this year.
Yeah,
and feel like I burned myself.
Good good stat in the chat here. Joey Gallo struck out more times in June than Tony Gwynn struck out in the last 3 years of his career.
That is a great wild stat. And Brian LaHare. Okay. So I'm burning myself on this one though, by the way, guys, because the year that Rizzo came up, Yep. I was third overall in the main event at the All-Star break, and Brian LaHare was playing every day for me. And I was like, oh, okay, I got a steal there at first base. He barely played the second half. He collapsed and all that. So I was, you know, it was the whole team went into a slump. It wasn't just my fault for not replacing LaHare quicker, but I was a hair slow on replacing LaHare.
13 home runs the first 3 months and three the last 3 months with Brian LaHare in 2012. That was definitely a fall off a cliff season there. What other bats were you interested in? I thought that an interesting one was Joey Wendell in Miami hitting second today. Jazz Chisholm is on the IL. So, spot opens up for Wendell. Is always one of those guys, you know, multi-eligible position, almost always hits for average, a little bit of pop, a few steals. He feels like a nice piece for me, at least for a little bit here while Jazz recuperates.
Not bad. It's just the question is like how long, you know, the thing is he was like kind of locked in for a while and then got hurt and then got hurt again. I mean, he can run. He can run. He's got a little tiny bit of pop too. I mean, he's a poor man's John Birdie, but he can qualify at different positions. I like it. I like him. I think he's useful right now.
Would you drop Andrew McCutchen for Vinny, Jeff? Someone's asking in the chat.
For Vinny? Yeah.
I actually like McCutchen.
I do too.
Speed power combo right now, but I think the floor is nice with Vinny. I think the upside's pretty good too. I like McCutchen, but I'd go Vinny on myself.
We do like to call him McClutchen. Tim and I do on our team. Yeah. We have him in on one of our two mains. So I like him. I have him too. But I would prefer Vinny.
I feel like this is a week of offense, like guys coming from either being DFA'd like Jonathan VR or coming back from the IL soon. We got Eddie Rosario, Kyle Lewis, Tyler Naquin in your Reds. Mitch Haniger is going to be back soon. I've been kind of trying to figure out which one of these guys to stash and when to do it. I picked up Rosario last week and then I dropped him this week for Haniger. I like the upside of Haniger more. And a week closer on Haniger, he probably is not till the All-Star break, but I think it's a difference making bat. But is there any of these guys coming back that especially interest you? I feel like this was kind of a week where there was a lot of, guys with zero at bats this week, but had some rostership and coming off the aisle that might make a difference for us in the second half.
I think it's funny that the Angels got Jonathan VR. Because he's better than Tyler Wade. That's his campaign slogan. But
he led off today.
Of course, because the Angels. Yeah. Didn't really.
That, by the way, that lineup is horrendous.
Yeah.
I flipped on their box score today. The bottom half of that lineup is so putrid. I couldn't even know what to say. Because I was looking to see if VR was playing and where he was hitting. The bottom half of that lineup is a bunch of guys that hadn't even heard of a month ago. We got Stefanik. Renjifo, McKinnon, and Harrison were the bottom before. Like, I think that's Monty Harrison from the Marlins. Obviously, I know man Renjifo. McKinnon looks like Noah Syndergaard, the only reason I know him. But, like, that's a brutal bottom half of the lineup for the Angels.
Well, it was funny. Like, a week and a half ago, McKinnon was batting cleanup. And, like, oh, that's his first major league hit. I'm like, why is he batting cleanup?
Right?
But, yeah, it's just – the Angels are just such a weird team. So good at the top and so god awful at the rest of the way. I mean, and they've been a little they've been unlucky. Rendon was unlucky. I like that. I like that they went after him. But at the same time, it's typical Angels luck.
It is. Anybody else offensive wise? Did you look at any catchers this week? Michael Perez off the 3-homer game. I got back in on some Danny Jansen, a little bit of Carson Kelly. He had a couple home runs this week. I was in the Ryan Jeffers business before, and I finally got out of that. It was it's been really bad.
I dropped Jeffers in the main also and picked up James McCann.
Okay. I should have punted on Jeffers probably 2 weeks ago, and I think I did in one spot and kept him in another. It's been – I'm like, the barrel rate's good. He hits the ball hard, but he just doesn't hit the ball very much or often. So I finally jumped out of that, but it's been rotating with catch. I'm hoping to stick with somebody, but it's been ugly there. Anybody you liked there?
No, I mean, I liked McCann enough that I put more than a minimum bid, which is funny because I could have gotten him for one. But, he's – playing most of the time on a team that's got a great offense. So I kind of, and he's had his moments where he's been pretty competent at the plate before too. So thought he might be someone that's, he was a permanent better solution than Jeffers, who's got the bad thumb now. That's the reason why I finally cut the cord on Jeffers. Perez was in my waterfall, but go ahead.
I don't know too. As I was looking at catchers, Max Stassi was available in leagues over 90% rostered. So I'm like, I wonder what Max Stassi's done lately. Jeff, since June 1st, Max Gassi has scored zero runs. The only player in baseball that qualifies over 70 plate appearances has not scored a single run.
Oh, oofta.
24 games, 81 plate appearances, 70 at-bats, zero runs. That is, I don't even know how do you not like get on? He's been on baseball. You know, he had 12 hits and 11 walks. It says a lot about the Angels lineup. It says a lot about him. That's an impossible stat that I came across. I laughed because the second lowest guy is Matt Duffy, who has 69 at-bats, 72 plate appearances. He has two runs in that stretch. So the Angels offense is firing on all cylinders here.
They just struck out two more times, even though the game was over. Yeah, it's really bad. Matt Duffy, I mean, how's he getting 69 plate appearances? I mean,
it's tough in Angels land right now. What about starting pitching? It's, again, a tough week for starters. We've talked about it. You know, the hitting's been really fun in Fab. Starting pitching has not been very fun. Looking this week, we got, like, Braxton Garrett. Miami has two starts. Johnny Cueto, an old friend, has a couple of starts. He actually has not been bad. I have him in one of my main event leagues. I just kind of held him. Haven't used him a lot. But you say Kikuchi has two, coming off a good start. Dean Kramer in Baltimore has been really good. But you're kind of always waiting for the blow-up. What were you doing with starting pitching this week? Because I found it a rough go once again.
I was going like this. I was holding my nose,
yeah,
trying to type in a bit at the same time. It was very awkward, but especially because I'm stuffed up right now, so I made it even more awkward. But you know, I got Kramer and Yogurt. I got Jordan Hicks as a $1. Like, let's see what happens with him. Sort of bid. We'll see if he gets stretched out again. See if we got something there. If not, we'll move on.
Yeah.
Kikuchi, I had benched in a couple of leagues last week, so that was fun. You know, after taking all the pain, I then, you know, missed out on the good one this week. So, you know, whipsawed myself on that.
It was Pittsburgh. He faced someone bad, right?
He did it against Tampa.
Oh, he did it Tampa. All right. Well, not. Well, they've been pretty bad.
Pretty bad too until this weekend, where and then they turned it around all of a sudden. But yeah, Zach Plesac has two starts. Lamont Williams mentions that Detroit and Kansas City. That's as good as it gets.
I had him on our list to talk about here because he's available in a lot of 12s. Are you buying in on the resurgence at all? He's been really good the last, I guess I call it five starts, giving up 0-1-1-3-2 starts. And there's just, it's hard. He's got to be good with the ratios because the strikeouts are not there. He's got a 17% strikeout rate. His strikeouts under 10%, which is lower than it's been since 2019. XERA is 5.94. This is a guy that scares the heck out of me, but I admit has been good and has been usable for about a month here. But I always feel like that 7 earned run start is around the corner.
I acknowledge that he has been good, and I will not take a chance on him. So
Detroit KC, though, you're right. That is as nice as a line.
I mean, unless
you can sneak Oakland in there, that's pretty much as good as it gets right there.
It's kind of peak hypocrisy of me to say I'm going to take a chance on Dean Kramer in his starts, but not right. Take a chance on Zach Plesac in his too.
Dean Kramer is home Texas, home Angels. So that's a pretty good on paper setup right there too. And again, another guy that, you know, every time I look, I'm like, I just know it's coming. But, you know, these people that have started him the last three or four starts, they've gotten all those starts banked. And, you know, if they get a blow up, it's still going to maybe, you know, work out okay because they got all the good ones. But sure. I was a little scared to jump on right now. My favorite guy is actually in your neck of the woods, Cincinnati, 73% rostered in 12. So still available in spots is Nick Lodolo, who's coming back. Had a really good stint of rehab starts. Obviously, a guy with the pretty big upside. I think we talked about him last week. Is one of someone like, you know, the time to stash is now. The starts aren't the best on paper. It's that's good. We got a question right as I talked about. It's pretty good. Home against the Mets and home against the Rays. Obviously, home is bad for red pitchers. That place is really tough to pitch. It'll likely be warm there. I'm throwing it, Jeff. I think that we're at the point where my eighth and ninth starters are usually really a little sketchy every week. You know, maybe it's a half closer. Maybe it's a guy with a pitcher I like with a bad matchup, or maybe a pitcher I don't like as much with a good matchup. But with Lodolo with two starts, I like the strikeouts a lot. I figure I'm going to get some of those either way. And I like him enough that I'm using him for the two-step coming off the IL.
Yeah. I worry about how long he's going to go into the game in his first game back, and it's against the Mets. So, but at the same time, I've kept him this whole time in Yogurt. So I'm going to have to consider using him because I don't have a whole lot of depth there. Yeah. I believe the talent. I'm starting to, you know, obviously I have issues with the organization in the ballpark.
yes.
I'll get back to you, but I was telling people to pick him up in stash if you could, although it's a two-stepper, it's hard. You know, here's the thing. It sucks when you can't use a two-step at in your home ballpark. I mean, that's like, what are we doing here, right? Why are we rostering him if we can't use him in two starts in your own ballpark? But circumstances are a little different here because it's Lodolo.
I like him enough that I'm throwing it. There's some risk in there pinching in Cincinnati against those offenses for sure. I think I'm going to get strikeouts. I think he's going to pitch well enough that the ratios will be kind of, won't kill you, won't help you, but I think the strikeouts will be nice. And, with the Reds, you're probably going to get two wins out of that, right?
Oh, sure. For sure. Definitely.
Maybe not there. Let's jump into some relief pitching in Fab. But first, a note from our sponsors at the Blue Wire Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thank you for indulging us on those with the sponsor. We appreciate Blue Wire for that. Jeff, relievers, we haven't had a lot, but it got a little interesting this week. We've got Kenley Jansen on the IL with his heart-related condition he's had in the past. Sounds like they think he's going to be the minimum stay. Last time he had it, it was like 11 or 12 days. The rules are different now. It's a 15-day IL for pitchers, so he has to be on there for 2 weeks. But did you dive into any AJ Minter, any Will Smith at all? Hoping for maybe a week of saves from a pretty good team in Atlanta.
I did pick up the Fresh Prince of DeKalb County with one of those two, or Cobb County. God, I was going to say.
I was about to say good county knowledge, but yeah, you have
it. It's Gwinnett, actually, now that I think about it.
Was Cobb the old one? I think Cobb might have been the old stadium.
Fulton County is where
Atlanta is. Oh, you're right. That's right.
I know that.
Because that was actually built it right next to it. That's right. Yeah.
And Gwinnett is where the AAA team is, so I think I might have been right the first time. Hordes of angry Atlanteans are going to be after me for getting their county wrong, but we'll see.
Cobb County is the correct answer.
Cobb it is. All right. I did get Will Smith. I think he and Minter both will get him. Minter is actually had a better year. Smith had two saves last week and Minter got beat today. So maybe it might just be for this week is the tough part.
Yeah, so, I thought it was for this week too, but I lean Smith also. I think if I was going to go pure save guess for this week, I think I'd go Smith, and that's who I bid on where I needed some saves, just because a week of saves on a good team is a real thing still.
Yeah, and it really wasn't a whole lot else to go bid on there relief pitcher wise, unless you're in that one alien league where Jaron Duran was not rostered. I don't trust any other Minnesota reliever. Griffin Jacks is a good pitcher, but I don't trust his usage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, Cedric, because obviously Emilio Pagan, he absolutely exploded the last couple of weeks. Luckily, I had him on the bench this week and dropped him, but I did have him in one of my main events, but I got him out of there.
What a horrible week in Cleveland. Oh,
I mean, it was like 9 earned runs and 2 1/3 innings between 4 outings the last 2 weeks. It was just brutal. And they actually, Rocco Bella came out and said, yeah, I had a chat with him and he's going to be pitching. He's going to be pitching earlier in games or when maybe we have a lead is what he said. So he didn't want to say not closing, but I pretty much said not closing, but yeah, I think you're right. I think that, you know, Duran is taken everywhere and there's nobody else I really was jumping into with kind of maybe to fill in for Pagan. I'm not really interested in much there.
Yeah.
Did you do anything with the Dodgers? We hit that on that a little bit earlier. Did you look at any Grad at all or Evan Phillips, someone like that? Or you think that, at least for now, what Robert says about Kimbrel is how he feels.
Gratterall was in my waterfall, didn't get him.
Yeah, I pulled him back and moved him down once I saw a couple of quotes and all that. And the Kimbrel was fine. He did only miss a few days. He did take that line drive off the kind of the back and tricep from I think it was Cronenworth. I forget who it was, but there were some injuries today, though. I want to hit those real quick. We talked about Juan Soto earlier. He's dealing with a left hammy injury, left early on Sunday. Seems like one of those day-to-day tightness kind of things, and they do play tomorrow. Again, you mentioned 8 in the morning, so at least we'll know right away if Soto's in the lineup tomorrow.
Yep, definitely.
Frankie Montas, I got home today, flipped on the A's game, and Frankie Montas is not pitching anymore after an inning. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? I was hoping that he got traded, Jeff, but he did not. Sounds like he's got some shoulder tightness. They're calling it day-to-day. I never believe day-to-day when I have anything with a throwing shoulder.
Yeah, you were hoping it was hug watch. It was not.
I was hoping. Yes, I was hoping he was over there hugging Tony Kemp. And my favorite, I saw a tweet today saying the A's may be sellers of the deadline. I think that they might move Tony Kemp. And I was...
Good luck. And Lou Trevino is available too, guys. And
okay. I was like,
Elvis Andrews, come on down.
Tony Kemp seems really nice, but like nobody's trading for Tony Kemp. His hard hit rate is 6% lower than anybody else in baseball right now.
Yep. Good human being, not a good hitter.
Agreed. Xander Bogaerts did leave today. He looked like he was stealing a base. He got spiked. He was left in the 7th with a left knee injury. We don't know much more about that. Again,
it was a laceration. Needed 8 stitches. So yeah, but it
painful, but not a long-term thing.
Yeah. I think maybe he just had to get it stitched up. Now he may not be able to play a day or two, but I wouldn't sweat it. It's not like, I don't see this as unless rickets and scurvy set in, I think he's probably okay.
Or unless he's Cody Bellinger 2021, who had a cut and missed 3 months after that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nice diagnosis there, Dodgers. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
From a laceration to a stress fracture. Good times.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ranger Suarez, I mentioned earlier because I was going to put him in for Frankie Montas, went in the aisle with back spasms. Been a disappointing year for Suarez. If you have him in a 15-teamer, Jeff, are you finally dumping this? Are you holding back spasms probably back in a couple of weeks? It's been a rough year from a guy who was a breakout last year.
Yeah. He was never a huge strikeout guy. I mean, I think the thing is, he was just so good over the stretch. He built in that loyalty if you had him.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have him, you probably are not really on him that much this year either.
Yeah, I kind of fell into him in one of my main event leagues, and I've held on to him. He kind of seemed like he turned a corner, then he didn't turn the corner after that. But I held on to him for a week. I want to see the diagnosis here, but I think he's very much on my – once I need someone or find someone, I'm planning on dropping him pretty quick.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tyrone Taylor, who I think you and I both picked up in the main event last week, went on the 7-day concussion IL. Missed. I think he pinch hit on Friday and then missed the weekend. So one of those ones you got to just kind of have to see. That could be 7 days. That could be 2-3 weeks. So you just never know with the brain injury stuff.
Outfield injuries are just whack-a-mole for me, though. It's just we got him to replace Bryce Harper. Then we lost Brantley, and we're waiting for Eloy to come back. It's just like, one of you just like. Eloy's probably coming back this week.
Yep, so that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I had Mookie Betts out, and I replaced him with Tyrone Taylor and Oscar Gonzalez, who's next on our list, who went on the 10-day IL with a right intercostal strain. They say he's not going to do anything for a week. I spent a decent amount of money on him last week. He was like 98% rostered. He was available in my league. I like the profile. I like the power. I like the fact he's hitting for average like this, playing every day. Just didn't work out, but I dropped him. I didn't intercostal strains with hitters. I kind of want no problem. It always takes longer than we think.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Got a question about another outfielder, Julio Rodriguez. We were talking about him earlier. You know, he's got a suspension coming up. He is vigorously defending himself on this one.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even throw a punch. So
and he got 2 games.
Yeah, he got 2 games. So what's it going to really get down to one? No, I think this is not actionable. You just write it out.
And it's Julio Rodriguez. If he plays, you know, 5 instead of 7 a week, you don't really care anyway. But I think he'll get it down to one, and I think he'll just pick a day where he's going to take an off day anyway and just serve it.
Yeah, maybe. Although it might be the principle of the matter. He may fight it to a hearing, but either way, I mean, unless they play 5 games in a given week, yeah, you're just going to write it out. I don't think you change anything here.
I agree fully there. Like the only way if you're in a daily league and you hear he's going to take it, that's the only place that I would even consider making a move, I think.
Yeah.
Garrett Whitlock in Boston's interesting. They're not an injury report, but a news report. It sounds like he's going to be worked out of the bullpen when he does come back rather than starting. He's very heavily rostered in most of these leagues. Main event, he's like, I think online I had him and he's like 95% rostered. I don't think he's rosterable really coming out of the bullpen. It's really hard to find ways to use him in a 12 teamer, a 15 teamer. I think you can kind of use the ratios, use the strikeouts, but it's gonna be tough to use him for the meantime.
So he was one of those guys where there's a big disconnect between my optimistic projection for him and my roster percentage of him. I don't have him anymore because I didn't know what his role is going to be. I actually didn't buy into him stretching him out as a starter. And in fact, had I known he'd been in the bullpen, I would have been more likely to roster him because
you're thinking he might eventually
he's a breath away from closing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? I mean, all it takes is Tanner Howe, you know, going on sabbatical, deciding he's not going to, I was going to make some sort of joke, but point is, not getting the closer's job. Maybe they decide that Houck's the guy that's a multi-inning, bulk inning guy, and they go back to Whitlock being at the end of the game. I mean, you could see that happening. Probably won't, but. Whitlock's a very good pitcher. I like him a lot. I just don't know what his role is going
to
be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough, at least for a while, unless he finds his way to the eighth and ninth. I think it's going to be tough to find spots to use him in.
Correct.
Seiya Suzuki in Chicago. Sounds like he's headed back to Chicago. He's done with his rehab stint. We'll be back tomorrow. How do you feel about Suzuki? Because the first 10 days were great, and since after that, it was really, really rough. Do you think do you feel like he's usable right now in a 12 or 15? How do you feel about Suzuki in terms of, like, do you deploy him this week?
I only have him in one DC way early that I got him before his price started going up. I don't think about him a lot.
Yeah.
Just hasn't been on my radar.
I didn't. And someone asked me about him last week and I went and looked and like all of his production was the first 10 games.
Like, he had like 4 homers. That was it.
And he still has 4. And he's been really bad since then. I think there's still a lot of talent here. Obviously he was really good overseas. So I think he's rosterable, but I might want to watch a half week before I put him in. I don't think I'm starting him this week, but maybe put him in for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. Again, the cheesy answer is it depends on your options. But if you need,
of course.
I would prefer to wait if I could. Looking, let's see who are the Cubs playing. They get at Milwaukee, so he gets Lauer, Gonzalez, Burns, and then they go to 4 games in LA. So. Yeah, I mean, Lauer has been a shadow of himself lately. I'm a little worried about Lauer. I have a lot of exposure to him. So, but I've been benching Lauer in some places lately.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting Suzuki there. And then I guess he plays at LA over the weekends. Not great either. Kershaw, Urias, and Mitch White. But yeah, it might be a tough week. But maybe gets those lefties. I probably put him in there. But it has to be, again, who you have there.
Right.
A couple of guys making rehab starts today. They went very differently. Jacob deGrom made his rehab start through 1 2/3, had 5 strikeouts. Jeff, if I'm doing my math right, that means he struck out everybody he faced, which is pretty darn good. Was throwing 100 in the bullpen. I don't think it's a question of whether Jacob deGrom's good. It's whether if he can actually stay upright and pitch. And, so far, so good starting today. Marcus Stroman made a rehab start. Did not go well. He gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs, and 2 2/3. 5 of the 7 hits are ground balls, so maybe a little bit of defense there, a little bit of bad luck. But Stroman said pre-start that he thought it was going to be his only rehab start. He wants to make his next start in Chicago. I'm guessing maybe the results today maybe make them think maybe he needs one more.
Yeah, well, his next start will be in Chicago because that means – because they're on the road this week, so there you go.
There you go.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing they have him go one more just based on that. But, yeah, that's our news and notes. A few players I want to talk about before we get out of here. we talk a lot in the preseason about stolen bases. You know, you have to find them, you got to get them. And you and I both preach, like, you know, see if you can get them, you know, piece together some 15, 20 guys. You don't have to take some of these guys, but you look at some of the rabbit guys. We talked about John Birdie earlier, who's been great, but Miles Straw and Jorge Mateo, both hitting, Straw's hitting 137 since June 1st. Mateo's at 138 since June 1st. They both do have, I think Mateo's got like 19 stolen bases. Straw has less than that. I think he's got 10 or so.
I think it's still 11, right?
It's 11.
I think it's been stuck on 11 for like a long time too.
You're close to me. Mistaken. He's got 12, but yeah, same thing there.
He must have just got one recently then.
Yeah.
Long national nightmare is over. Yeah, he got one Saturday.
hitting 196 with a 0.5% barrel rate. That it doesn't strike out, but it hits nothing hard. It's a danger of these guys, though. We, you know, you and I joked about me picking Delino Shields a few years ago and how I panicked and I had to get a stolen base guy. And like, easy starting, he's leading off, he's going to steal. And these guys just have so much volatility because they can go into these huge slumps. They end up hitting ninth or they get benched. And it's hard when you don't do anything else and you need those steals. Like, they just go. I mean, Miles Straw has 10 RBIs all year.
Yeah. No homers. He has 44 runs at least, but, yep. You know, Not as many lately either, though. And now he's batting ninth. At least Jorge Mateo has the ability to suck at multiple positions, so you got that going for you.
He does have six home runs, but still only 20 RBIs. He only has 26 runs, has 19 steals. But I mean, that's 261 plate appearances for Mateo at 196. Like, that is crippling. That is brutal. That just kills your team. Mateo's a guy who has a little bit of pop. He's striking out 32% of the time. He's just a bad, bad hitter. And when you get bad hitters, like, they're going to lose playing time at some point, despite the fact they may steal a bunch of bases.
Yeah. Well, in the case of Mateo, I feel like, okay, he's delivered you those 19 stolen bases, cut your losses and move on. I mean, Straw, it sucks even more because he didn't even do the benefit of the bargain as much.
Yeah, the 12 stolen bases in a half year is not even close. And at least with Mateo, he was pretty much free in draft. So, you know, he went up a little bit late, but Straw was what, like a seventh, eighth, ninth round pick right in there? Like, people were, that was the stolen base guy that was hot in the season. So he's been really rough. Jeff, question for you in the chat. Dylan Bundy, Jake Odorizzi, or Yusei Kikuchi, all with two starts week this week. What say you?
Let me look at who they're playing.
Kikuchi is at Oakland and at Seattle. Odorizzi is home Kansas City at Oakland. And Bundy is at Chicago at Texas. I'm Odorizzi too. Like, I think your chance of getting wins are really good. Those matchups are really nice. Coming off the IL maybe is a little scary. So I go Odorizzi 1, Kikuchi 2, and Bundy 3.
Distant third on Bundy.
Yeah, agreed. I had the two guys and then the distant third also. I agree there. He's just so inconsistent at Chicago. You know, I know they don't have Eloy yet, but that's still an offensive. Of the ones we mentioned, those matchups, that's the one that scares me the most.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing too is don't overlook the Yusei Kikuchi revenge game factor here too. Although he's faced Seattle already one other time also at home, but no, and
don't discount the fact that he's likely to throw a no hitter against the A's too. You have to factor that in.
Well, it is. It's in both cases. It's A's. Okay. Yeah, right? Yes. Yeah. It's, Detroit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Odorizzi may only throw five, but it'll be five scoreless innings for sure, which is really nice. So, yeah. It's funny. You and I, we talk about so many players preseason. And, you know, guys are thinking, who's going to break out? Who's going to be good? Spencer Strider is someone that very few people talked about preseason. He was, he throws hard, but nobody was drafting Spencer Strider, at least in redraft leagues. He was not there. The dude has been awesome. He is fun to watch, too. Throws gas. He had that one blow-up start a few starts ago where he gets six runs to the Giants. But other than that, has been awesome. Strikeout rate is 37.7%, and he's kept as a starter, too. But walk rate's a little bit high, 9.6%, but not something that's going to kill you. ERA 287, WHIP 1.01. Dude's been fun to watch on a good team. You know, the best thing about baseball is, like, in other sports, you rarely have this where a guy kind of comes out of nowhere and just dominating. And Strider's doing that so far.
Yeah. And our definition of nowhere is weird, too, though. I mean, was, because he didn't get a lot of hype and draft pool talk, but he did have a great spring training.
Yep.
He was a first round pick. It's not like this guy is like,
Was he really? I had him as a fourth round pick.
I thought it was a first round pick, but I could be wrong about that. I had him in a score sheet league as a keeper going into this year, but
I had him as a round.
Yeah, you're right. Fourth round out of Clemson. Okay, so I'm a little full of it as usual, but my point is though there was some prospect type attached to him.
Yeah,
but had one good spring training, but the role was he was a reliever.
Yeah. And he had one AAA inning coming in. Like he's been a AA guy. And
Yeah.
He's just, I mean, he's a, he, every 5 days they throw him out, and it has been really, he's fun to watch too. The mustache, yeah. the mustache is a good little side effect there, but it's been fun to watch him pitch. He's been really good. I've enjoyed one of those guys that, when I know he's pitching, he's one of the few guys I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and watch that start because Strider's been just fun to watch.
And he did a pump fake. The Braves did a pump fake on us. Remember, they thought, oh, we're going to stretch him out.
Yeah.
And then we're not going to. And then they did after like the big spending flurry. So all the people that held on to him through that stretch got rewarded. But I bet you people spent, dropped, and then had to spend again.
Yeah, I think I might have been one of those in one of my online leagues. Next pitcher I want to talk about. How's this for his last two starts? 14 innings, one hit. Not one run, one hit. One walk, one earned run, 27 strikeouts. We're talking about guys breaking out, and Christian Javier is every bit of that right now. 2.58 ERA, a whip under one. He's made 11 starts, 69 and two-thirds innings, a strikeout rate at 34.3%. We always knew he's a strikeout guy, but he's bumped it up. Last year was 31%, and you know a lot of those were relieving outings too. Walk rate's down. It was 12.5% last year. It's 8.7% now. The Astros did not need another pitcher to step up to make them any better, but Javier has certainly done that and forced their hand, so they can't take him out of the rotation right now.
I mean, he's legitimately great. And, you know, the thing is, he was good last year at times, too. But he's definitely taken another step forward. It's interesting to see what they're doing to accommodate Odorizzi, but we mentioned this earlier that they can afford to, and it really does give everybody rest, including Javier, by the way. Yeah. Who doesn't have that many innings accumulated and probably couldn't go every fifth turn, every fifth day for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and they're going to – I mean, we mentioned earlier they have a 100-game lead in the West. They're going to take some starts off from these guys. But, yeah, Javier is fun to watch. I was actually – it was where I was doing something where I couldn't watch. You guys listening to the game. He pitched in Yankee Stadium two starts ago. And yeah. I just read him in the Yankees radio feed on. They were just – they were – there's like nobody's pitched this well against the Yankees all year long. Like, I haven't seen a guy like this – all season long. I mean, he's that dominant. They were just like pointing out the fact that he's just the best guy they've seen all year.
Well, the funny thing is that whole series, every pitcher was just mowing down. I mean, the Yankees have been on fire, and they had two rallies, obviously. But in between that, their starting pitching was just mowing. Urquidy is a lot better right now than he was earlier this season, too.
Yeah, and he's had like three good starts in a row after being very, very kind of up and down before that.
Yeah, I mean, Urquidy was a guy that I was about ready to write off, especially because of the low, low strikeout upside. He's gotten a lot better now.
Yeah, it's the question in the chat. The Astros are going 6-man rotation, at least right now. They're Odorizzi's pitching Monday, and then we're pitching Sunday. They play 7 games a week. So they are going 6-man at least this time through, and they'll kind of see who's healthy, see who needs a break, and kind of piece together from there. But they are going 6-man for right now. Someone asked a question in the chat, Jeff. Would you drop Adley Rutschman or Gary Sanchez if you had to?
Sanchez probably. Here's the thing. I mean, it depends on the format a little bit. If it's a points league, I might be a little bit more circumspect about dropping Sanchez, but if it's a roto league, you know, you're going to get crushed in the batting average with him. Whereas Rutschman, I think, has the higher upside. I mean, Gary's hitting .222. That's good for him right now. Actually.
Yeah.
Highest
average in 3 years.
Yeah. 9.934, 26. And Rutschman already has 15 runs scored. I mean, I know he's not hitting for average right now. He struggled. I just get the feeling he's like one of these other elite prospects where he's getting his feet, you know, he's getting his legs under him. He's, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, but he's getting used to the major leagues and he's going to get better.
Yeah, I think the format's a good call because if you need home runs, you got to be Sanchez. He hit me a ton of power, barrel rate's high, hard hit rate's high, but strikeout rate's 28%. Rutschman's strikeout rate as a rookie is 18.8%. Really, really good there. Yeah. I think overall in a roto league, I'd probably keep Rutschman also. I think we'll probably get the benefit of that in the second half. I agree with you in a points league or, you know, maybe something where the strikeouts or batting average doesn't kill you. He said it was head-to-head category, so maybe it becomes a little bit different. That gets a little bit closer there. But I think I like Rutschman for the second half, just by a little bit, though.
Yep.
Last guy I wanted to ask you about, Jeff. In Atlanta, we talked about Spencer Strider. Ian Anderson's kind of been the other direction. He is someone that was pretty highly thought of coming into drafts this year. He was really good in his debut in 2020, and then last year, 128 innings, 3.58 ERA, 1.23 whip. So not a guy that, you know, was winning a league, but really, really solid innings. has been a disaster this year. 5.31 ERA, 1.52 whip, 76 innings. K rate's down about 4%. Walk rate's up a little bit. Swing strike rate is up a little bit, but 12.4%. What do you do with someone like this? Do you think the Braves think about moving him out of the rotation? Do you think they what do you think they do here? You know, as they get maybe some guys back, do you think that Anderson is someone that could – they had Kyle Muller in AAA who's pitching really, really well. I looked at picking him up in some spots, maybe speculator that maybe they take Anderson out. But how long do you think the leash of Anderson, or do you have any confidence in him maybe turning this around a little bit?
I don't have a lot of confidence because of the walks. I mean, just that's what bothers me. And even last year, he had 53 walks on 128 innings. That's not great.
Nope.
ERA estimators suggested he was running lucky. You know, BABIP was like 261, didn't match up with the hard hit rate. He was so good in the playoffs. I think we had some extra optimism. You know, he had some stretches even last season during the season that he's running good. He is a highly touted prospect, but, and maybe he gets it down the road, but right now I'm not that optimistic about him.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same bucket there. Someone that I didn't really like at the draft price, and I don't really like it. If he's dropped or anything like that, not someone I'd be rushing to get right now. Last guy I want to talk about, Jeff, Emmanuel Clase is friggin' awesome, by the way. That dude, he had like a couple hiccups in April, and you're like, oh, you know, maybe last year wasn't that legit. Since May 1st, he's allowed one run. He has 19 strikeouts and three walks, two walks. One of those is intentional also. So one non-intentional walk against 29 strikeouts. As elite and legit a closer as we have, you know, I think Josh Hader's one, Liam Hendricks healthy is probably two, but I think Clase is right there in the three section.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Love him.
I regret not taking him. I was between him and Bobby Witt in the main event in the third round. I had Clase, Ryan Pressing, someone else. I'm like, yeah, I just get it because I was picking 12. Like, I just got a closer in the fourth round. It'll just work, and one of them will be there. Presley was, but Jefferson Clase and Presley's pretty, you know, not huge right now, but I'd definitely rather have Clase and Witt. It's kind of starting to struggle a little bit. I wish I had just taken Clase and figured out the bat in the fourth round.
You know, Presley kind of got it together after that meltdown in New York.
He did. I was worried about that start after that one in New York, but he's been, I think he has like four straight scoreless saves since then.
Yep. Got a win today after pitching a perfect inning. Has 17 saves of his own.
Thank you, Jeremy Pena.
Yep. Yep. I honestly, you're doing fine. Now,
you know what the answer was? The answer was Clase and Presley is what is the answer to that question. And that would have worked really well in the season.
I don't think you're going to regret Bobby Witt.
The home runs and stolen bases are really nice. The batting average is a little low, but I love Witt. I think he's going to have a big second half too. But every time Clase closes, I'm like, oh, maybe I just should have gone with the more proven thing. But Clase Presley was probably the answer, both of them. But I think Witt Presley will work out. I regret not having some Clase there.
Yep.
So anybody else, you want to talk about anything else that's on your mind before we jump out of here?
I think we've been pretty good. And I've got 2 minutes to get some fabs in and labor. So I'll go ahead and do that.
Beautiful.
Take advantage of our early start time.
There you go. Good luck with that. I want to thank everybody for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I want to thank everybody for that weighed in with chat questions, weighed in, watched us live, will listen to us on the audio later. We always appreciate it. There was a question there. I don't know about Mike Soroka's return time, but I'm not overly optimistic about that. I don't think they'll take him very, very slow with him. But I looked and I have not seen much since early June, any reports on him. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Jeff is at Twitter, Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensen. We always see talk baseball there, and hit us up with any questions or lineup stuff or stuff you want to talk about there. Happy to answer questions, always there. Anybody, anything else? Let us know. But other than that, hope everybody has a really good week. We'll be back at you next Sunday night. Take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.